Pentecost happened, this suddenly was accompanied by many amazing signs that caused people to come running and ask the question, what does this mean? And as Peter begins to explain this, he exhorts everyone there that there's an appropriate response here for you to take. And that first response is repentance. You know, for us Christians, we often get caught up in the blessing. We often get caught up that when God begins to move, you know, we get excited, and rightfully so, we should. We start praising Him, and we're getting all excited and all those kinds of things. Well, it's not just for that. Those things happen in our lives that we might be in a right relationship with Him. And one of the first things that we need to do after that rejoicing and excitement is to really look deeply at ourselves and say, God, what do I need to do that I might be in a right relationship with You all the time? All the time. See, God is a holy God. And when His presence comes upon us in a powerful way, you know, we better have things right because we're encountering a holy God. And so, as we come before Him and we're experiencing these blessings, we need this part of repentance. I kind of read that and I thought, you know, that's there, but that's just kind of a one instance. I wasn't going to speak on it. I said, I don't think that's the right message for this Sunday. And so the next morning as I was getting up, I was reading in my devotions, happened to read Acts chapter 3. And as I read to Acts chapter 3, it talks about this crippled beggar that was at the temple for many, many years, and he gets healed. And as he gets healed, there's a huge response that people all start running towards the apostles like, hey, there's excitement. What's going on? And they're all excited that this crippled man is now healed, and they see it before their very eyes. But listen to what Peter says again. He says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and He again will send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. See, the response that we need to have after the initial blessing, amazement, awe, is to look at that part deep inside of ourselves and to ask that question, Lord, is there anything I need to repent of? You know, a lot of times we quickly ask that question and don't think nothing about it. But it's a great thing to actually pray in your life every day. God, is there anything I did today that I need to repent of? You might be surprised when you pray that. And I really believe that God is calling the church to repent of our sins. From anything that we have been doing that is wrong. And when we repent means to be sorry, yes. To repent means to express regret. But repentance also means that you need to be sorry enough to change your ways. Repentance is change. And it needs to be taken seriously by us all. See, the Bible tells us, Acts 17:30, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. But now He commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of their sins and turn to Him. For He set a day for judging the world with justice by the man He has appointed. And so He's calling out to everyone, everywhere. That means we're included, because it's everyone, everywhere, that He calls us to repent. And sadly, as Christians, we often treat sin lightly. We often treat sin as, well, oh God, He overlooks that because God is a loving God, and because He's a loving God, He just overlooks our sin. That's not what the Bible says. We rebel. We do things that are disobedient before God. We do things that we know are wrong. And we kind of put them underneath the carpet and think, well, God is love. God loves me. And so it's okay if I do these things. We continue in our sin and we deceive ourselves that we're okay, not just because God loves us, well, God knows my heart. I think we've all used that excuse before. Well, you know my heart, God. Like, I didn't really mean to do these things. And so, you know my heart. My heart is good, Lord. And so, and, you know, and after all, King David in the Bible, like, the terrible sins that King David did. And the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. So I think it's okay to sin because in my heart, I'm okay. We kind of forget that David wept. That David cried out to the Lord in repentance. And that's why he was a man after God's heart, because he would recognize that when he sinned, that he needed to repent and weep and cry out to God. And friends, when we experience suddenlies, where God shows up on the scene, those occasions are not just to bless us and encourage us, which are good, but they're also to get us in a right relationship with Him. And if we've been doing things that are wrong, then we need to repent. We need to change, and it starts with the church. It really does. God is calling the church. God is calling Christians to repent. And please note that when you read the book of Revelation, it's the Lord's last message to the churches. And it's interesting as you look what Jesus is saying there. He's not saying that, I see your hearts. And it's okay that you've been sinning against me. He doesn't say that, does he? No, he's quite more calling us out for what we really are doing. He's saying, yes, I have. I have seen what you are doing. And you do need to repent. Revelation 2:5 says, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Because if you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. We deceive ourselves so many times that sin doesn't make a difference in our lives. It's okay. God's a God of love. God knows my heart. There's no consequences. Yes, there is. Some very major consequences if we don't repent. You need to remember that these messages are for the church. They're not for the world. It's for the church. God is concerned about the sin that is in the church and it needs to be dealt with. I was watching the movie and I keep forgetting the name of it. It was about the native hockey player. It was in our theaters. It's now on DVD. That is an excellent, excellent video to watch. And it really does show the injustice that the church did. That the church did. And there are things that the church needs to repent of. There are things that we as a church need to repent of. That we as Christians, God's people, need to repent of, because he's concerned about that. And I know that as Christians, a lot of times we actually do treat sin lightly. We really do. We often become enablers for Christians to continue in their sin because we don't want to approach them. We don't want to correct them. We kind of passively do nothing. And, we throw out the things, well, God is love. God forgives. God knows our hearts. When the Bible says, without repentance, there is no forgiveness. There is no forgiveness. And it says, Luke 13:3 says, and you will perish unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And you can love someone all you want. You can forgive a person all you want. If there is no repentance, there is no forgiveness. It doesn't happen. Bible says if we don't repent, you perish. That's hell. That's not a good place. And as far as the Christians, Luke 17:3, it says, so watch yourself. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is forgiveness or repentance, if there's repentance, then you forgive. So you need to understand something about forgiveness. Forgiveness has already been given out. God has already forgiven you. There's forgiveness everywhere as you go. If you would look here, you can't see it, but there's a big word there, forgiveness. You are forgiven. If you go this way, there's a big word, you are forgiven. If you look this way, you are forgiven. If you look that way, you're forgiven. It's all around you. You are forgiven. Jesus Christ has paid for your sins. But to activate that forgiveness, you need to repent. You can't take it until you repent. So repentance is the activation code that opens the door of forgiveness. If there is no repentance, then there is no forgiveness. Even though forgiveness is extended to you. That works also in everyday lives. That is, a brother or sister sins against you and you forgive them. Forgiveness is out there for the taking. But if they do not repent, they can't experience it. To receive salvation, to be made right with God, to be forgiven of your sin, to enter into heaven, repentance needs to take place. Just believe, well, I believe in God. That's good. He loves you. He died for you. He went to the cross for you. He has forgiven you. But for you to activate that forgiveness, you need to come to that place where you repent of your sin. And as Christians, sometimes we're guilty of avoiding it, excusing it. When God is saying, no, you need to repent. We don't like that word either. But you will not experience the times of refreshing until you repent. Now, I know I'm taking a lot of time on this point, but it's really the most important part of the message. And if we didn't do the rest of the message, it's okay, because this was the part he wanted to speak about. I was struggling with this on whether or not to really talk about it. But that next morning, God just showed me again, Acts chapter 3. As I came to church, and there were lots of activities going on here, we're trying to get ready for our rodeo, and different things are going on, I get some phone calls. I get a phone call from a local pastor, and he was just talking about something else, but then he kind of changed the subject, and he said, you know, Pastor, you spoke about a tidal wave that was coming suddenly. I think, oh, that's pretty cool. That's what I'm going to be speaking about. And so when I told him I'm going to speak about that, and I shared with him the passage of Scripture I was going to share, he kind of like gasped and said, oh, that's the same passage I'm speaking on this Sunday. Wonderful. Then I had a lady text me, and she doesn't live here. She lives the other end of the province. And she said, I am praying for you right now. Clarity was the word she spoke. Oh, this is getting better. Then I have another person, they call me up and say, Pastor, I don't always go to your church all the time, but a few years ago, I kind of made some judgments against you. And I realized that they were wrong, and I know that you forgave me, but I just sensed this morning that I needed to call you to say that I'm sorry, and that I've watched you and your wife, and I've seen the fruit of your ministry, and I saw that my judgment was wrong, and so I just felt to call you today to say I'm sorry. Say, thank you, Lord. You just keep reminding me that this is the direction that we needed to go this morning. It's not a subject we like to hear, but it is a subject that we need to take to our hearts. Repentance is important. And so it's important for us to ask the Lord, is there anything I need to repent for? Is there any person maybe I need to repent to? And if it is, then we need to do those things. Let's not delay. Because we don't want to miss the next suddenly. We don't want to miss this tidal wave of the convicting power of God that's going to bring a harvest of souls in a quantity that we've never seen before. When suddenlies happen, when God shows up, yes, be ready to rejoice, get excited. But also use it as a time of reflection, because those times are also meant to keep us in a right relationship, a place where God can continue to flow and move through us and bless others, and that we might see the great promises of God. So it's repentance is a standard, basic truth of the gospel. Not just when suddenlies happen. It's just a simple, basic truth of the gospel. For everyone, we all need to repent. Every one of us. Everyone, everywhere, we all need to repent of our sins. That's the key that opens up the door of forgiveness that is all around us and that has been extended to us. I believe that God is calling the church to repent. And when I say that, I don't mean just this church. I mean the churches, his people. Because it starts with his people. When God's people get it right, then God starts moving outside that church and drawing and touching people. Two more points I'll just go through rather quickly. They're much, much shorter. A second response is we experience a suddenly of God. Where God shows up in the scene, our response needs to be turn to him. Peter replied in Acts 2:38, repent of your sins and turn to God. To turn is to reverse your position, to rotate in order to move in a different direction. To turn is to alter your course, to change your focus, to change your direction. So again, suddenlies are not just meant to bless you. They're to change you and help you to realize that the direction in your life that you're taking is wrong and that God wants to show you a better way. If you experience a God encounter of any kind, sometimes God's been giving a lot of people of late dreams, giving a lot of people visions to draw you closer, to make your faith more real. So there's some changes that need to be made, or if there are things that we need to repent of, let's make them. Let's do them. Let's get serious with God. Let's start moving in the direction of God. Old ways need to stay old ways. Don't bring them back up again. So many Christians are going back to the things of the world, and they're trying to bring them back into the church and say, you know, there was nothing wrong with these things. Friends, it's not a matter of whether they're right or wrong. It's a matter of God told you to give it up, you give it up. You don't bring it back again. You don't look back. You only look forward to what God has for you. See, suddenlies are to change us, draw us closer. Our lives are to be different. You know, a real sad statement that I hear made by the world a lot is that, you know what? I see a lot of the people that go to your churches, and as I look at Christians, they tell me this. The only difference between that individual and me is that they go to church. And if that's all that can be said of our Christianity, then we've really missed it. If that's your testimony, that the only difference between how you act and they act is that you go to church on Sunday, you've missed it. We really have. Having God in our lives, having encounters with God and sunnies with God should change us. There should be a notable difference in our hunger and our thirst for God. It's very important that our lifestyle gets changed so that our Christianity is proven to be true. Luke chapter 3, verse 8 says, prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Again, we like to, oh yeah, I said I'm sorry, God. But then we do nothing about it. No, if you're sorry, you're going to change your ways. You're going to act differently from that day forward. And remember, Jesus said these words not to the world. He said this to the religious leaders of the time who were living compromising lives. And he was pretty hard on them. But you know what? They were giving religion a bad name. Many people were turning away from God because of these religious leaders. And Jesus was saying, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a follower of God, then you need to show it by the way that you live. Apostle Paul stressed that same type of response. Acts 26, verse 20, he says, I preach first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and then through all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove they have changed by the good things they do. Every Christian is to show and demonstrate that they have repented of their sins and changed their ways. You cannot call yourself a Christian if you're continuing to live in disobedience and in sin. Suddenlies, encounters with God are meant to change us, to cause us to turn to him, to get our focus back where it really should be. Right hearts, right living, no more excuses, no turning back. To repent of our sins, to turn to God. And then lastly, we'll do this one rather quickly. Thirdly, and suddenly he's in fresh encounters with God. God is looking for the response of follow through. That we would respond with action to the commitments that we have declared. If we repented of our sins and turned to God, start doing those things you said you would do. Peter again, verse 2:38. Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, so many people stop at repenting of sin, or they stop that they turn to God, when there's a whole other commission of things that we're supposed to do, that once we come in that relationship with Christ, it's not just, okay, I'm done, I got my ticket, I'm good, I can live any way I want now, and it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Prove by the way that you live that you are a child of God. And then follow through. If you're to be baptized, then get baptized. Don't keep waiting. Don't keep waiting. If there are things that God's calling you to do, then do them. Don't keep waiting. Matthew 28:19 says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have a job to do. We have a job to do to reach our world for Jesus Christ. It may look like a simple barbecue, but it's an opportunity that we're reaching out to our community to get people to tell them that, hey, we care. We're not here to charge you for anything. We care about you. We love you. And we want to love you some more and give you some bikes. Now, I know one person, they kind of thought, you guys must be a very rich church that you just give stuff away. And I said, no, we're not a rich church. We're just ordinary individuals touched by God that want to respond and help people out and even to give sacrificially to help others. We have a job to do. We need to follow through with those. Follow through with your commitments. If you promise God something, then do it. Because I'm going to tell you something. God is holding you accountable, whether you think so or not. Encounters, suddenlies with God are meant to stimulate you and inspire you to follow through with your commitments to the Lord. I encourage you to do that. So in closing, as our team comes back to lead us in worship, maybe that last song would be, I think, a good kind of song to sing. It's going to be two major suddenlies that are going to happen. One is a move of God that's going to flow like a tidal wave through this area and through this nation. And I believe it's going to be a literal sound from heaven. Won't be a mighty wind this time. It's going to be like a sound of water. And it's going to be a sign that's going to cause people to wonder what in the world is going on. And there's going to be an immediate conviction inside of people that they're going to start crying out to God. And they're going to start looking for Christians to say, help me, help me. What does this mean? What's going on? And we better be ready to receive them. The other suddenly is going to be the second coming of Christ, where Christ comes for his bride, the church, for Christians. And I believe this is very soon. I believe that each just follow one after the other. I believe it's going to be quick. I really do. But this morning, I want to concentrate on that first wave of drawing multitudes to the saving knowledge of Christ. There have been many words that have been spoken over this church. Been many words spoken over other churches too, but there's been a lot of words spoken over this church. Every minister that has ever spoken in this pulpit senses something is going to happen in this community. You have heard it many, many times. Don't be deceived in listening to somebody else to say it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. There may be that God may have to do some sifting in our midst, because there may be people that have wrong hearts and God might have to sift them out. But let me tell you, Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He's going to deal with some issues. We want to be ready for that. You know, as I was saying about the many words that have been spoken over the church, and I was talking actually with Rick Rosichuk, and he again was just telling me about Jeremy Nelson, and there's some dates that kind of got all messed up, and they've been wanting to come here, and him especially, he's very insistent he needs to be here. He's expecting something big to happen in this area, that this church is important. Don't forget that. Remember the promises. Remember the promises that God has been speaking. You don't want to go backwards, friends. And I know sometimes, you know, we get in that place where, you know, say, oh, it was so nice when we were smaller. It was so nice and we had that wonderful fellowship. And it was just so good. So you want to go back to Egypt. That's what God would say to you. You want to go back to Egypt? You kind of forgot what it really was like. We were a very small church when I first came here. We were about 50 people. Good things started to happen. And our church got bigger and bigger and bigger. But you know what? We didn't have their community's attention until we built out here. I still remember some of those community people coming to us and they're saying, I'm shocked. I didn't know that you had this many people. We just thought you were just some insignificant, and that's the words they use, some insignificant little group of people in some hidden little church. Do you want to go back to that? I'm not. I'm not going back there. The word of the Lord that's coming is telling us to build. The word of the Lord that's coming to us is make room. There's a harvest that's coming. So friend, don't get discouraged. Don't believe the lies of the enemy that are out there that are trying to discourage you and cause you to say, oh, let's go backwards. No, we're going forwards. God got something good for us. I want to get ready to touch the multitudes. I want to get ready to see more suddenly start taking place. But I know that God is looking at our hearts very, very intently. He's not putting up with anything. He's really dealing with our hearts. I know that as I pray, sometimes I pray things and the Lord says, no, you're not allowed. And I'm kind of like, what? What do you mean I'm not allowed? You're not allowed to pray that. You're only to pray this. Okay, I'll submit myself to what you say. And I'll do what you say. He's getting nitpicky, picking on little things in our lives. Maybe on some of the things that we've never bothered to deal with in our lives before. Kind of, you know, sometimes we have those things in our lives that we don't deal with, and we just kind of keep them back there. God's saying, no, not anymore, you're not. I'm coming for a pure bride. I'm getting you ready. Because there's a harvest. You have to be ready for a harvest. You've got to be ready. It was interesting that a person yesterday came up to me and said, I haven't seen you in a few years. Are you still believing for that building that you had posted in your hall that you're going to be building a greater building? I was kind of surprised that he asked me that. And I was about to say, well, you know, it's been kind of tough of late. Finances have been hard and, you know, people have moved away and things of these nature. And then I thought, no, yes, I am believing that that's going to happen. And maybe that's what God's asking of us today. Are you still believing? Or have you been listening to the lies of the enemy? God is good and Satan is bad. And he has nothing good to say. So when you hear something that's not very good, you know where it comes from. Because God only has good things to say. I think he's taking to say, I want you to look at your hearts here. You best get ready for what I'm about to do. Because you know what? You can miss it. I'm going to tell you something. That's one of my greatest fears, one of my own wife's greatest fears. That we would miss what God wants us to do and what God wants to accomplish. And as pastors, that's a huge, huge weight on us because we realize that if we miss it, you do too. We're to lead it. And if we mess up, then you could all miss it too. We need to realize that your life is not your own. Your life affects other lives. And if we don't deal with those things in our own lives, someone else's life can be affected and miss out from God. I don't want that to happen. So I have to say, God, forgive me. God, is there things I need to repent of? Lord, are there things where I have attitudes that need to be changed or wrong, or am I praying wrong things? as I ask the Lord that he shows me things. Sometimes I'm quite surprised because I'm still being biblical. I say, but Lord, this is biblical. I know it is. But that's what you're, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you to do this. Okay, Lord, I will submit myself to you. And it's not an unbiblical thing. It's just another truth of the scripture. But you're to pray this way. This is what I want you to do. And so I'm trying to be obedient. But I do believe that God is calling on the church worldwide, Canada, because he wants to get the church ready. But there's some things in the church that they need to repent of. They need to say, I'm sorry, God. And we need to do it. And as we do, then times of refreshing will come. I have one. God, why the delay? Why the delay? I know it's coming. I know that I know that I know it's coming. But I sometimes, why the delay? It frustrates me, God. It doesn't always give me an answer. But he does tell me to wait. I've encouraged you enough. I've spoken enough words over your life. Just keep going. Keep going. Just keep going the same direction I told you to go. So, Father, I thank you that you are a great God, a loving God. I thank you that there's forgiveness everywhere. There's big words. I can see them all around me. And they're all around every individual. Forgiveness. But I can't take it until I repent. And so, Lord, we would ask here this morning, if there's any areas that we need to repent of, that we'll be obedient to do that. And that as we repent, that we will change. And that people will see the change in us and know that we dealt with some things. Because they're going to see a change in our lives. And then, Lord, we're going to follow through with those things we said we would do. So, Lord, we just receive your word here this morning. We welcome that word in our hearts. We ask that you would touch us. If you're here this morning, maybe you're a person that's new to church, or maybe you've never been here before. If you've never been here before, God bless you. It's so great to have you. Maybe you've been a person, you say, I believe in God. I always have. But you never went any further than that. Because if you believe, then you need to go to another place where you say, Lord Jesus, I do welcome you in my life. And I repent of my sin. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry because I know that I've been doing things that haven't been pleasing to you. And the Bible tells us we've all sinned, so you know, don't get all worried about, we've all sinned. All of us have sinned. All in the same boat. But have we confessed our sin? Have we repented of our sin? And as we do that, it's like a key that opens up that forgiveness to come all over us. And that's what we need, because without repentance, there isn't any forgiveness. You got to repent to be able to receive it. So if you're here today and maybe you want some prayer, we'll be glad to pray for you at the end of the service here. We're going to be closing here with this song and then dismiss you if you have to go. God bless you. If you're able to stay and have a hamburger with us and some fellowship, love to have you. Love to have some fellowship with you. And we understand kind of that just kind of happened that we had some burgers left over, so we know you may have other plans, and that's okay. But you can join us. But if you, maybe you just also just want to come and pray and have nobody pray for you. And these altars are open. This church here, we welcome prayer. We welcome people to come to the front and kneel and get on their knees or stand or however you like to pray. It doesn't matter to me. We just want people to be free to pray, to seek the Lord and to call on him that in a way that you feel comfortable. You want to raise your hands? Great. If you don't want to raise your hands, that's good. You want to open your eyes or close your eyes? It doesn't matter. Just feel free to come. This place is always open. So we're going to close with that. If you want prayer, we're here to pray for you. If you just want to spend some time with God, that's fine too. If you have to go, bless you. I know it's been a very busy weekend, Again, thank you for all of your help. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your response. We believe that lives are going to be touched. And we are. We are trying to get ready for the harvest that's going to come. Because it will happen. It's going to happen. And we want to be ready for it. Bless you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. Let us stand as we continue.